It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, wandering reporter, who hopefully didn't get too wet. Hi, Ruth. What's going on out there?
Well, good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day from yesterday. Hope everybody saw the green.
Hey, green means go.
Green means go, so we're going.
Go to the bar.
lots of land use activity in Sharon this week. The Low Road Foundation project, the one that is being planned for Main Street there next to the shopping center with the pretty dilapidated buildings, got the green light, speaking of green, from the Inland Wetlands Commission after a couple of tries. They are going to demolish, the plan is to demolish those two buildings and put in sort of like a park, like with landscaping and paths in that area. That it does adjoin the river, or the little brook down there. So there was a lot of concern by the commissioners. They took great time going over all the conditions that they are imposing because of the closeness to the water. It did get approval with conditions of types of plantings that could go in there. That was spelled out very clearly. And there's got to be a lot of monitoring by the applicant's agent at the applicant's expense. Storm drainage and continued maintenance. It was all spelled out pretty clearly. Now it gets to the Planning and Zoning Commission, where the Inland Wetlands Commissioners will stress these conditions be imposed.
How does that work? The actual execution of those impositions, does it get written in? What happens?
Yeah, it's part of the approval of the application. It's written in when it's approved, and so that has to be followed, or they are in violation. So, and then it could be closed if the conditions are not met. I suppose it could be closed down.
Does the application get pulled? Or I'm just wondering if that is, a straw. What does it have any teeth?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
I mean, they can.
No, I just.
They can cease and desist.
Nothing else. Yeah.
They can cease. Call them to cease and desist if it's not going as planned, or if they see things they don't like. But in most of these cases, I mean, the commissions do work together well in all these towns. I've never seen them really go against each other. So if one says something, the other follows. I wouldn't think there'd be any problem.
Yeah, I think it's more the follow-up down the road that always becomes in question, because even though these are written so many times, they become something that sits in the background at some given point. So,
right, yeah, but, immediately, talking about quote, and it's like, okay,
right.
This is what I have to do, this is what I have to do, and then everybody goes off, and then they...
Yeah, it depends on whether they appoint...
What they want to do.
Whether they appoint an agency, depend on internal people. Usually it's self-policing, if you will.
Okay.
You just see down the road, but as long as they meet all the requirements going in. Ruth, did this change the positioning of the buildings they're going to put on the property?
I don't think they've said where they're going.
And the entrances, is there still?
Because
I'm thinking about the brook, because
you're sitting.
Hey, wait a minute. Okay. There, your driveway runs along that brook, so if they're building a park and stuff, I'm going to assume that everything's going to push
off to the.
East. Okay, whichever direction
I don't
that
know.
Is.
Sounds,
all right, but that'll all come. All those plans will come out from site plan and all that. Planning
and zoning.
I would think they already had a site plan for the inland wetlands, though.
They did, and there was a lot of talk back and forth.
It could be,
but I can't answer. When I say can't, I don't know what was there. I'm already over my head.
Well, I think the site plan for Well, I'm not sure now.
Yeah, no, it's
Planning and zoning is the one who determines the buildings.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. And also will approve the site plan in general. There's
yeah.
They yeah. have a certain amount of say so in that, but they'll follow, as you said, they'll follow the recommendations of the other boards.
Yeah.
You know, unless somebody decides to appeal it somewhere. I'm just curious as to how it changes the general makeup. We'll have to check in at town hall and see what's on file.
It'll be interesting to see, but I think it's going from all we know, it's certainly going to improve the area.
Oh yeah, no, you can't do anything but improve the
pretty
if you can't improve that, you need to quit.
yeah. And I think it's I think everybody's pleased that they're taking such care to make sure that the brook is kept safe. So it'll be interesting to watch. We'll see.
All right.
But it will go before zoning next, so we'll keep an eye on that.
So you said more in Sharon?
Excuse me?
Did you say there were more in Sharon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep. And then you move down the street to West Main and Amenia Road. Both of them. There's the Gold Dog Project, which is, if people know, there it starts across from the hospital and goes across to a pathway across to Route 343.
That's the old Colgate property?
Yep, it's right there, right? And, well, it's near there. This is the Gold Dog Project. It's calling for, I believe, 24 units of housing. It has raised great concern. As you well know, there were close to 50 people there at the planning and zoning meeting the other night. As with any large project, as we well know, it brings out people both pro and con. I'm sure there are concerns about traffic. Well, that was the biggie, traffic coming in and out of West Main Street there. What it does to properties surrounding it, runoff, people are concerned about that coming down even onto what's King Hill Road and the other road that comes out of there. So I'm sure this will... this is not going to be a quickie. This is going to be
going to have a number of public
ongoing.
A number of public hearings that get extended and extended.
Right. So there is, for those who did not go to the meeting and are interested, I believe there's a audio tape that they can listen to at the land use office. And yes, it will be continued into April, and I'm sure, as we all know, with every large project, there comes...
People, you know, it's
interest.
Let's just say communication for all that... Mike, I have to say, there was some good point to recording, videoing all of those meetings way back when, because you could see... You could see what was going on.
Yeah, the difficulty audio, which they've done for quite some time, but the difficulty with audio tapes is, sometimes you don't know who's speaking because, unfortunately, in our small towns, we kind of tend to be more informal than formal about these things when people are supposed to identify themselves each time. Because on an audio tape, you may not know who is speaking at all if they don't say who they are.
Yeah, I much prefer seeing a video, just for the body language alone.
Looking at people.
Well, yeah, that is another important aspect to me. It's more like I can see who's speaking,
and you can see how they feel about what they are saying. There's since we have become programmed over the years, let's just say, to incorporate that, just an audio. I think that. We need a kid. Where are the kids? You need someone to go in there and tape these things. All right.
Yeah. Well, I must say, Sharon is the only town I believe that doesn't.
Yeah,
Every other town videos most of its meetings.
Yeah, so. I think just about everybody has gone to that.
I don't know the answer. This is not my department.
Yeah, I
They
think
do. I mean, and Casey knows, Casey Flanagan knows, that's my big gripe. They're not
because
taping and
obviously
recording their meetings.
with the other towns doing it, the technology and the capability and plenty of people they can talk to. Yeah, I'm with you on that. The videotaping is far superior to the audio.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and people miss out if they can't be there or incapacitated. I think it's important that they have the ability to see what's going on. So,
Absolutely.
this one, I believe, will go on for a while. So,
So anything more in Sharon? I'm afraid to ask.
no, I think
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I think that's enough
Yeah,
building
I
for
remember
at
those
least
two.
one week.
I remember those two. I was just hoping there wasn't a third one in play now.
Yeah, not that I'm aware.
Time, give it time.
Actually, there were a couple of little
Yeah.
on the agenda for some stuff going on, but nothing of this magnitude. A nice story about the academic bowl at the high school. Peter Vermilier, the department chair of the history department, runs that. And these kids, I must say, are terrific. They have, in the latest competition, they came out number one in Connecticut, number one in New England, and number four in the United States.
Whoa.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly is the Academic Bowl?
It's almost like I don't want to lessen it to a trivia contest, but it's knowing, it's knowledge,
All right,
just
yeah,
answering
just
questions.
straight out testing then without, yeah.
Yeah, on various subjects, but all kinds. I mean, I was there at their practice the other day, and it was, they were talking folk songs and literature and sports and science. I mean, you name it. And these kids, well, they certainly put me to shame, but they were. I love the exuberance of it. They're kids, freshmen all the way up to seniors. And what struck me was that I said, why do you think you're so successful? And they said, because we communicate with each other, and it
Yeah.
was really neat. We talk and we figure things out. So I'm sure they're headed for more. Well, I know they're headed for more competition. And
Now, this is a team type thing.
yes, yeah. And so you have
That's
kids
good. Yeah,
on various
you've
teams,
got to work together. Yeah.
and that little key word was something we were talking about just at the very beginning of this. We communicate, the whole communication, getting kids back in communication with each other is huge because
And
Well, there.
while the school does give some money in its budget to this program, it's still, I mean, there are places they'd love to go that they just can't afford. I mean,
You
they're
mean,
expensive to go around the country.
yeah,
So,
for the competitions, God, yeah, that can get into a lot of big bucks.
yeah. Well, a lot of it now is virtual as well, so that
Oh,
helps.
that's right, too. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
shouldn't forget about that, but I do.
Actually, we can go back to Sharon, not for buildings and commissions, but the Maple Fest was this past weekend at Audubon.
That's right.
And that's always a real fun event.
Did you get
They
some
opened
maple syrup?
I did not. I just watched them make it. I didn't eat any. But it's a very sweet, no pun intended.
Unintended, why not?
The Sugar Shack, Sugar House is open, and Wendy Miller, who's the education person there, always gives out a great demonstration and on how it's made, and then of course it ends with a sweet treat for those who are there. She was a little concerned that th what th they're not the crowds are not as big as they used to be, and she's hoping again, communication, get the word out, because it's a wonderful program, and people are not as much as they used to be, but it's a
Well,
real.
so when COVID struck, it was you know, a lot of people. Never mind. It's about getting the word. It's about getting the word out and getting people back used to socializing and being social. Was it last week or the week before where the informal meet with a teacher whose name I'm forgetting right this second, brought out so many people, and it was such a surprise. everybody felt good because, you know, it's part of the magic of getting together, basically.
Yeah, I find that most places I go, that they are still feeling the effects of COVID, trying to come back from people who don't want to go out or.
Got to go out and, you know, you're humans, you're creatures of. Do you have more than one dog? Do you have more than one? You know, we are creatures that require a certain amount of social interaction.
Yeah, I'm still seeing a lot of people out and about. Well, not huge numbers, but enough to notice wearing masks and such, and being protected.
There's a hand sanitizer. This is a special. There's a hand sanitizer thing going on. It seems I'm just noticing, for whatever reason, every time I go to the Extra Mart, whoever's in front of me, this is in Sharon, stops, gets in their car after they're done, and sanitizes their hands. And I would just like this public service announcement. Please be aware, there are chemicals in hand sanitizer that are absolutely carcinogenic. Please, it's not good. It's not good.
Trade one thing for another.
Absolutely,
huh?
And the thing that you're sanitizing, this goes back to antibacterial soap and so forth. You know, you need a certain amount of resistance to what's out there.
You have to use grain alcohol.
Whatever. Good. Now I'll never get the pumps. But that's just something to be aware of. Check into the ingredients of your hand sanitizer.
Right.
Please. Okay.
Okay, so now we have about 2 minutes left on the clock here, so let's see what we can stuff in there.
The Salisbury Forum this Friday night at the high school, 7:30. I think this is going to be an important talk about rural health and the rural health, health desert, actually, out here.
As in health care?
It's going to be moderated by Nancy Heaton of the Foundation for Community Health, and Christina McCullough is going to the president of Sharon Hospital, Megan Kenny from the visiting nurse, and Maria Horn, our state rep, are going to be on the panel discussing rural health in the northwest corner. And these meetings are always very enlightening and inspiring, I think, and always packed, so I'm sure this one as well. And it is a concern. We all know doctors are leaving. We're concerned about the future of the hospital. So I would urge people who are interested to go. And they're free. You know, all Salisbury Forum talks are free, and they get amazing people. So,
and where are they?
At the high school, 7:30 in the new auditorium.
New auditorium. Now, if nothing else, you get to see the new auditorium.
Yeah, and you do, and it's beautiful. I've been there a few times, and a lot nicer than that dark, dingy place with the broken seats. So now it's really lovely. So, and that's what's going on.
All right. Well, one other thing I'll throw in. Sharon Audubon on Thursday is having what they call Policy Potluck, and this is a free event as well. And they're going to be talking about these things called neonicotinoids, which they're calling the new DDT. So anybody who's interested in pesticide, they're going to have people speaking about this chemical and how it's being used and whether it's something you should be concerned about.
And what time is that?
That will be at 6 p.m.
At the center?
Thursday, March 20th at the center.
Okay. That's good to know. I mean, going back to hand sanitizer, there are things that people have been using that they have been had been deemed safe that maybe aren't so safe.
Yeah, well, again, this is, you have to substitute. I'm sure substituted this for DDT for all we know. I don't know that much about it yet, but anyway, just another quick thing. The advanced online registration is suggested, and that's at sharon.audubon.org. But it is free.
Even if it weren't free, it's something you should find out about. I'm sorry.
So I think...
That's it?
We've come to the end of the line here.
Well, good job, everybody. Thank you so much, Ruth Epstein. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There with Ruth Epstein, our wandering, roving reporter on Robin Hood Radio.